Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hello, hill folk. Welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. Tonight, you know who it is, Ryan and Lance. With a very special guest we brought back from the Fey Realm. Somehow, we opened a couple of portals. We pulled some strings. And we got his ass on here tonight. Justin, welcome back to the podcast, buddy.
Hey, fellas. It's good to be back. Hey, hill folk. It's good to be back. I've missed you guys. I've had an extremely rough, well, they tell me it's been like 3 months, but it just felt like 3 minutes. I don't know, man. It was so weird. Like, I was researching. In my pooper studio, I was researching, and then the next thing I know, dude, I was just, boom, I transported, I looked around, I was in this clearing, there were pine trees all around me, there were mushrooms scattered out around the ground, but I was in the middle of one that was a circle, and next thing I know, these little people in loincloths and spears were right on top of me. And I was running from them. I was trying to get away. I hit my head on a limb of a tree. And I'm back. I don't know what happened.
So it was actually, Monica didn't want us to tell you, but it was actually an aneurysm. You were pushing too hard in the pooper studio. And that's just been what you've been dreaming for the last 3 months. We thought we were going to lose you. Of course, all of that's nonsense. That's he's just been in the Fey Realm.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Definitely in the Fey Realm. No, it is good to be back, fellas. I missed you guys like crazy. I've missed the hill folk like crazy. I've missed the community. I've missed everything. It's been a wild, wild, wild few months. But it's all coming. It's all coming to an end. Everything is going the direction that we wanted it to go. And we're almost there. We're almost there at the finish line. And I've got the time. We'll start having the time to get back into this thing. And I'm stoked for it. I'm stoked for it. I've missed it.
Well, we've all missed you, buddy. So I seen a sign today that I'm hoping is for real and not just made up. But this dude took a picture of this sign on a tree in, I want to say it's British Columbia. And it says, due to the warmer weathers, the weather we've been having, the Bigfoots have come down from the mountains, are now feeding near the streams, and gives a list of things to do and not to do. Do not run from Bigfoot. Do not chase Bigfoot. Do not keep trying to take pictures of Bigfoot. Do not feed Bigfoot. Do not yell at Bigfoot. Do not hit trees at Bigfoot. Bigfoot will not come in your camp and take your food. It's like, well, that's a lie.
Oh, he definitely will.
He's not going to pass up an easy meal.
No.
Nah. Look, know at one this thing point, about our homeboy, he can't pack up.
At this point, if it meant me getting to see the big guy and having like some kind of experience, look, he could take the whole barbecue. I don't even care. You sit down at the table. I got a lot of questions.
We'll make a big plate. That serving plate, that's for you, buddy. That serving plate.
I say all that, but literally, if he came walking into the camp and I seen him from 100 yards out, I'd probably pee my pants and run away as fast as I could.
Oh,
everybody get in the car. We got to go.
I definitely need clean underpants. I don't know how this – I've listened to a lot of Wes Gerber. I don't know how this situation is going to end. We got to go. That's.
Yeah, man. Yes.
You talked to just a guest we had just a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Grangers, Scott and Sheila, they interact with them all the time. Guys, don't forget the Befriending Bigfoot. I'm going to shout that out again. Befriending Bigfoot event, May 15th through, I want to say 17th. I can't remember. I know it starts May 15th. It's in Georgia, Blairsville, Georgia. Listen, if Scott and Sheila are taking you out to get some Bigfoot action, I would be there with bells on. Except my son is graduating May 15th. So
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's one of those things, man. It's go find Bigfoot or be a decent dad. It's an internal struggle.
It's a toughie. I mean, on the one hand, I'm sad because my little boy is graduating. He's 18. On the other hand, I'm happy because my little boy has grown up into a man. He's graduating. He's 18. And if Ashley ever decided to leave me, she can only get me for two.
Yeah. Dude, it's bittersweet. I mean, I'm right there with you. You know, we're going through the same thing with my boy right now. You know, he's at his senior prom tonight. You know, he's graduating. I think theirs is like May the 24th or something like that. It's a bittersweet thing, man, because you're like, it hits you that, like, how the heck did we get here this fast?
Yeah. Where and is it, the time going?
You have like this sense of urgency, like, man, he's about to be a grown adult. He's about to be legal here, you know, have I instilled enough into him to have him ready for the world and to do, and then you think and you're like, you know what, nobody's ever ready for the world, dude. You just gotta roll with the punches, and it takes life experience to gain any kind of wisdom about the world around you and about how things are working. So, man, I mean, the thing is, like, no matter how much you instill in them, yeah, morals, values, respect, dignity, how to treat people, how to be a decent human being. Yeah, you can cover all that.
Yeah.
But you cannot teach how to handle the world, because the world is rough, dude. It's
changing every day. So,
I mean, I've been in the Fey realm for 3 months.
Yeah.
And didn't know it. I mean, I was gone for 3 minutes running from little people with spears. Dude. I mean, I don't. That's what the world can give you.
The world has changed so much since you left, dude. I think we skipped like 3 timelines.
You know, I say that, but I've been so out of the loop over the last 3 months that I might as well have been in the Fey realm for real. I've been that out of the loop. Like, I haven't. I mean, yeah, there's been like a lot of I've got all kinds of topic ideas coming up and coming down the road, but like, as far as looking into anything with what's going on anywhere, dude, I've been totally out of the loop. Like, and honestly, it's been like a breath of fresh air, man. Like, you walk around and you realize, you know what? I kind of like people. I kind of like having these conversations.
Listen, I'm glad you're back in that place, because I've entered where you used to be.
The doom portal.
And I'm talking sunk up to the knees in this stuff, you know, that thick. Yeah. Just Alex Jones, I take it back. I'm going to say this on recording, since I said it on recording last time that I did, when you said you wanted him on the show, and I was like, I don't want that crazy guy on the show. I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong.
Dude, I've tried telling you. I've tried Alex, telling you for years.
Listen, I don't know if Tucker's a psyop or not, but he got it right when he said Alex Jones was a prophet. That dude is freaking crazy. And he has me terrified. And I'm ready to go screaming into the hills, eating locusts and honey, trying to become a prophet of God. So at least I'll know what's coming when it's coming.
But look, the only thing that any of us can do is to realize and understand that we need Jesus every day. And then whatever comes, let it come.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I had a discussion with a 4-year-old today, right? So you guys are, your kids are graduating. I'm on the other end of the spectrum. Been in education my entire professional career, so I understand graduation. I've gone through 14 of them now. As a member of the esteemed faculty, as I was called, have been called every time that the graduation has happened. But
do you say esteemed or steamed?
Both. Play on words there. But so I'm on the other end of the spectrum, right? So Pip, just she's getting ready to finish up kindergarten. Moxie's still has another year essentially before she has to go to kindergarten. But two things that I kind of want to add before we kind of move through this, to piggyback on what you boys said about making sure your kids are ready for the world, right? And coming to this realization that no, they're not, like, we weren't ready either. Still not really ready for it. But one thing that I have tried to focus on in the 6 years now that I've been raising kids, and you guys have been doing it a lot longer than I have. But one of the things that I've tried to focus on was, like, our job is to make them independent, right? It's our job to make them independent. But then you get to the point to where they're going to become a little more independent. And it's a totally scary thought as a parent, like, have I done enough to make them independent? But you spent 18 years trying to raise these boys to be independent, right? To make their own decisions, to have a good worldview and do all these things, right? It's such a scary thing. And that kind of leads into the next thing where I was having this conversation today with Moxie, and she's a spitfire. She's something else. But she got the crying today because she didn't want to go to school. She wants to stay with her grandma who keeps her, and she doesn't want to have to go to school. And I try to tell her, honey, you have a whole nother year before you have to even worry about that. Like, let's not even, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, right? And then I said to her, and it just, after I said it, my wife looked at me, and she was like, that was somewhat wise of you. You don't do it very often. No, I don't. But I said to her, honey, you need to worry about where your feet are, and let God take care of the rest. Because we really can't, just be where we're at on a daily basis and attack those problems as they come and worry about what happens is in front of us. And then all the other stuff, like, we can run out of control of it anyway. So we just kind of let God deal with those things and we'll cross those bridges when we come to them. So I think that with some of the crazy that's been going on, and with Justin being in a portal for 3 months and us not putting an episode out for a month now, I think it's been.
Yeah. We've actually had people checking on us.
Yeah. I've actually had people come to me like, y'all done? Y'all not recording anymore? Like, I'm kind of, I was like, I understand. Like, things have been a little bit wild. We'll get to it eventually. And with just the craziness that's gone on, and Ryan has now fallen down at the Alex Jones rabbit hole and things that he has said. Alex Jones is an interesting character, but he makes his money on fear. And he has been right on a lot of stuff. Absolutely. I will not refute that. He's also been wrong on a lot of stuff. But he makes his money by instilling fear in people. And to a certain degree, which is good, we all need to be a little bit leery of things that are coming. You'll be also need to realize that, like, you know what, that's going to happen regardless. And it's just kind of how we respond to those things is really more about who we are as people. And what our character is and what our identity is and who we believe in, that's a better way of kind of facing day-to-day problems, which is what, right, exactly what we're trying to teach our kids, what our parents taught us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What we've been teaching, what parents have been teaching yep. kids for generations, right? It's not so much the problems. It's how you respond to the problems. You're going to mistake. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up more often times than you're not. But being able to make independent decisions realizing that, man, that was not a good decision, and then dealing with the backlash of it, or realizing that, you know, well, that was a good decision, and let's make more of those good decisions. That's the beautiful part of being a human.
Yeah, man, I agree. You can learn from it.
I agree 100%. Like, that's, that was beautifully said, Lance. Beautifully said. I mean, there's a reason that the Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread, right?
Yep.
Don't worry about tomorrow's. Don't worry about tomorrow's bread.
The manna is coming. Don't worry about the manna. It's coming. We just deal with
it. And that's the thing. I mean, anything that comes to pass, it's only going to be through God. It's going to be if He allows it. And if He, who is sovereign and on the throne, if it's in His will and in His timing. So, yeah, there's a lot of crazy going on. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But nothing's going to happen without His stamp of approval. So, at the end of the day, as long as you have that stamp of approval, all you can do is keep moving forward. And again, give us this day our daily bread.
Day by day.
All right. There's your church service.
That's the show. We'll see you guys later.
There's your church service. Hey.
Thanks for joining us. We got
all hearts and minds clear. All hearts and minds clear. Spirit's not moving.
We're getting ready.
Sing his passion down, somebody. Sing his man down. Somebody start up a song.
Dr. Lyon singing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace.
I'm telling you, dude, you go to Old Regular Baptist Church, they get tired of the preacher, they just start singing.
Absolutely right.
All them other preachers sitting around him, one of them would just start up a song, be like, this guy's gone long enough.
That's straight facts, for real, for real.
That's 100% Appalachia right there, boys.
My wife's grandpa used to sit in the pew right in the front. He wasn't no preacher. His sons are. And she said he'd sit there. If he didn't like what they said, he'd go, I ain't taking that home with me.
I'm going to stick that in my back pocket. That's a good one.
I don't know, boys. I might be hearing that one a lot tomorrow.
Yeah, if he didn't like what they were saying, I ain't taking that home with me.
I'll be delivering a message right down the road from Lance tomorrow. I might be hearing that one a lot because
I'm going to slip in just holler from the back.
Do it. Please do that. That'd be great. No, man. That's all true, though. Like, you know, if you allow the fear to kind of take over, it's easy done. It's really easy done. I've done it 1,000 different times. You know, you fall in these rabbit holes and you're researching all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes it becomes, you know, pretty rough on your mental health and on your, you got to take breaks. You got to step out of it. And then eventually you have to come to grips and the realization of, you know, if I believe what I believe, if I'm as strong in my faith as I think I am and as I claim to be, like, none of this stuff, I mean, yeah, it matters. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that we don't have a part to play in all of this. But if it's to be, it's to be. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
dude, that has been a major decision. Like, I've always wrestled with my faith, but like I said, dude, I've made a conscious decision the last few days that I'm just going to rededicate myself to the faith and service of Jesus Christ. Hope, you know, I know I'm going to fail, but it might sound crazy, but at the same time, listening to all these different people and their perspectives and watching them start their journey in faith, and just like watch Sam Tripley, dude, his no porn changes like every week. It's like 4 days, 2 days with no porn. But you know what? He celebrates every single time that he goes there so many times. I'm like, you know what? Go freaking get him, Sam.
But dude, that's the salvation to sanctification journey that as believers we're all on. We're all going to fail. We're all going to come up short. We're all going to fall. We're all going to sin. And we're going to, a lot of these, we're going to go and repent. And then a week later, we find ourselves right back in it. And we're like, what? It's a struggle within ourselves. It's a struggle with the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's this conviction that we feel. And we, as human, we rebel against that. We do things that we ought not to do. It's just, it's a process. It's a journey. It's a walk. And that's the amazing thing of why Jesus did what he did. Because God knows, okay, we are never, ever, ever going to make it back to him if it's on us. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Because we're weak. We're full of sin. We're human. And we are going to fall. We can't follow all these rules. So he sent his son. He sent God in the flesh to be the ultimate sacrifice, to take all the weight of the sins of the entire world, my sins, your sins, past, present, future sins, all of those upon his shoulders, and declare, it's finished. It's done. I've paid it all.
Benito.
Yeah, so dude, if you
boys
believe,
old regular Baptist church service, we said we was done, but he just kept right on going.
I should have started singing. No, man,
it's awesome. It's awesome that you're hunkering down in your faith. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing, especially for me. You know, we've had a whole lot of conversations. I mean, definitely for you. I'm not you most importantly, but dude, if you knew, and I don't even care that this is all out there for the world to hear, if you knew how much prayer time I've spent on Ryan Rapp.
Well, all I can say is I'm a slow learner, man. So you can hear, you know, that we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But, you know, in those infancy stages, when you first come in to your relationship with Jesus, it's always like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. God hates me, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could never let go of that. I guess it was just the way I was raised, dude. And my mom's mom, my grandmother, I love her with all my heart, but she is so hardcore. Like, saying the word weird was not of God and all that, you know, every little thing was. So I always felt like, oh my gosh, you have to live this way. You have to be like this. And
you have to be perfect.
Yeah. But then I'm watching people like Tripoli. And yeah, he's messing up. He's like, I don't care, dude. I'm still going for it. And I'm like, dude, why couldn't I have got my mind in that situation back then? Guess I just needed to learn certain things and be in certain places.
Here's the thing. His grace is sufficient. That's it.
Yeah.
As long as you reside there. And look, I'm not saying, I mean, this is just a free ticket and free reign to just go and sin and sin and sin and sin and not pay any attention to the Holy Spirit. But when you do, I mean, if you're in prayer and you're in the Word and you're working on a relationship with Christ and you're trying to put him first in your life and you're trying to be more like him every day, and you fall and you fail and the world slaps you in the face and you get in these dry seasons and you do all these things, you just got to remember that his grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
That he bought you. He paid for you.
Yeah,
bought and if you have made that decision and made that choice to accept him into your life as Lord of your life, you're his.
Hey, just in case we need to do some editing, it's okay to say he died for our sins as long as we don't say who did it, right?
The government
at the time. He even washed his hands afterward. Darn you, Rome.
And the religious
leaders. Oh, no, that's
leader.
The Vatican now. We can't talk about them.
No. Yeah, you can't say that either. No, we're canceled.
We love the Jews. There, I fixed it.
Yes, we do.
I mean, God loves them, so
that's going to be a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode from now on. No matter the thoughts and opinions of the rest of this podcast, just that's so you know, as a disclaimer. No matter what is said or done, the next several minutes of this podcast, the three individuals who are running this podcast want you to know that we, in fact, love the Jews.
We love Jews. We love everybody.
We love everybody.
If you're human and you have a soul, that means God loves you, and so do we.
But if you're not human,
and
you're merged with
machines, we're talking to you, you know who you are.
You know who you
are. We don't, but you know who you are.
You know who you are.
We're looking at you, Kansas.
We don't love
the deep cut there, boy. That's a deep cut.
Oh man, this has already been great.
All right, Justin, not the sidebar from what we've been. It's like thrill this time. Are all hearts and minds clear?
All hearts and minds are clear.
You said you had a crazy story for us.
I do. I'm so excited for it, boys. You don't even know. Okay, I've been sitting on this for like a month and a half. All right, so I'm having a conversation the other day with an older gentleman who lives in the community, and he comes to where I work and gets wood pretty regularly. You know, he'll come and get where I work, and Ryan knows because he was there for a long time. We have a lot of scrap wood that we go through.
Lance knows because he comes and burns it in his outdoor furnace. And he
loves right, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
already cleaned up and easy to get to.
Yeah, for sure. So everybody knows. Everybody here knows. We have a lot of scrap wood, and we just kind of dump it outside of the fence of, you know, the shop that I work in for people just to come and get for firewood or, you know, to use for whatever. So this guy comes pretty regularly, and we had a couple of days to where we were doing something a little different, and we weren't getting rid of the scrap, you know, the inside like we normally do. So this guy drives on up to the shop, you know, and comes inside to where I work in the room that I work in, and he comes over and he asks me if we were going to have any wood out. And I told him, I said, no, buddy, I'm sorry. You know, I said, it'll probably be tomorrow around midday before we have anything going and any scrap wood back down there. And he said, that's fine. You know, that's all right. He said, I've been, you know, getting it for a few months now. He said, of course, you know, I burn it in the winter and I do all this. He said, but I've also been making little knickknacks and just little, you know, woodworking projects. He said, and I take them down in town. He said, I set up, you know, in yard sale most weekends, and I set up down there in town, like where Diamond Dog used to be, you know, and that's where he sets up. So I was like, well, that's really cool. Yeah, the Diamond Dog, baby. I remember the smell of that place. Walk in as a kid. Gosh, it was like heaven. Menthol and grease. It was great.
Testosterone skull spit.
That's right. That's exact. That's closer. That's where the menthol is coming from. But anyway, I'm talking to him, you know, and I kind of asked him about, you know, what kind of knickknacks he was making and, you know, what just different stuff. He was talking about it. And, you know, again, you start talking to some of these older people and they don't talk to a whole lot of people. So 5-minute conversations turn into an hour long life story. Yeah. So he's talking about, you know, he said, yeah, I go down there every weekend and I just try to make a few dollars, you know, just gas money to run around and do this and that and visit my grandkids over here. He said, usually he said, most weekends I'm down there setting up before daylight. He said, I got to start early. He said, you know, it's harder for me to get around loading and unloading all this stuff. It takes me a couple hours. So, you know, I'm talking to him about all this different stuff. And he said, you know, where I set up, he said, man, some mornings on the weekends, it just gets plumb beautiful. The sky lights up plumb beautiful down there. And I said, what do you mean, Scott? Like the sunrise? He said, oh, no, not the sunrise. He said, just these balls of light light up the sky real pretty. I said, balls of light? And he said, yeah. He said, if you're looking up the hill from where I set up, he said, if you're looking up the hill from where I'm facing, these balls of light will just shoot right up into the sky.
From the direction now, of our rock.
Boom. Bingo, Jack. Bingo.
That's where our rock's at.
Yep.
Bro, and there's balls of light shooting up.
According to him. Before daylight.
Why would he lie about that? I mean, that's a weird thing to say to a stranger if it's not true. Yeah.
And like he's just talking about it like it's, you know. I mean, the dude's probably 80.
He just described it as balls of light.
He said balls of light.
Bro. Well. I know where I need to be.
You get haste out for the sun rises. Set a camera up, obviously, or do something. At least get there and walk. I mean,
I got the camera.
We got to do something.
Yeah.
Because we all know. Well, not every. I don't know if everybody's on the same page. I know that when I go to our rock, I feel something. Feel this energy. I feel this. I don't know. I don't even know how to exactly describe it, but I feel the, and Connor, the first time I took him, dude, he was like a sore-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I mean, he was all to pieces, man. Like glancing around, looking over his shoulder, paranoid as crap. And I'm like, I was like, Connor, dude, what is going on? He's like, dude, somebody's watching us. Like we are being watched.
They're right literally now. Called the Watchers, man. That's They're literally called the Watchers.
Like to have this feeling and to have all the experiences and the lore and the questions and the history that just we have with this place.
And the fact that this is here from out of nowhere.
And out of nowhere.
This has come back out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
This guy, just in conversation.
Is it the tall road man that always comes down there?
Do what?
Is it the tall road man that always comes down there?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in his right faculties. I've spoken with him several times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dude loads up trailers full of wood.
Yeah, by himself. I've watched him do it.
By himself. He spends half a day loading up wood. You can talk to him. He's definitely in his right mind. And like I said, he's down there. He does this as a little side gig, you know, yard sales almost every weekend.
Just balls of light.
When he said it, man, it took me like a second to like, okay, wait a minute.
Wait. Does the regional jail have any spotlight, searchlights, anything like that? Nothing like that, right?
I'm sure that they have tower lights and stuff, but it wouldn't.
You'd see them all the time.
Yeah.
You would see a spotlight.
Yeah.
This dude literally said balls of light.
I'm just trying to be objective, you know, eliminate every possibility.
And the only reason I said that, because like here at the house, the airport has on top of the huge water tower has a light that just spins, you know.
Yeah.
You only see it at night. And the first couple of nights I stayed up here, I was like, what is going on? And then that's what that is. But I think you would drive through there at night, especially in the wintertime, and you would see it because you would just, you know, you're driving through Hayside, you know, at nighttime, you would definitely see those lights. And you don't think, not that I can remember at least.
Now, here's my question. And again, you know, I was just trying to think logically and think of, okay, what could cause this? Now, those power lines go by pretty close.
Yeah, they're very close.
So, is there any possible way that there could be some kind of
leaking electricity.
Maybe some kind of.
Think about how many power lines we see though all the time. I don't ever see balls of light around them.
No, I mean that's true. That's true.
Normally, if something I've seen that one time. Okay, and when that happens, due to the coating on that, this happened during the hurricane when we recorded with Tripoli. Outside, I watched one of those freaking lines burn, and it burnt green, I guess due to the insulation that was on it. It just happened to burn that color. But, dude, it just – and you could hear it before you could see it. Sure. So I would imagine you would hear that, and it always leads up to the point where the transformer goes – you know, it don't just singe the wire. It goes all the way across. It is actually really cool to witness. It wasn't for the electricians in my shop, but it was for me because, you know, I'm a pipe fitter. So,
yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing, dude. Like, just in casual conversation, this comes up. And when it clicks in my brain, you know, he didn't have really anything more to say. I mean, what more is there to say? Like, while I'm setting up early in the morning before daylight, you know, I see these balls of light shooting up in the air. I mean, it's, there's not much more to say, but on my end, my reaction was the same as you boys. Like, it was like a, wait, what?
It really, really, really makes me want to get LIDAR scans of that mountain. Dude, what if it's like the tip of the iceberg?
Well, that's what I've theorized for a while now.
I mean, think about that. And the way that's fallen off of that rock face there.
Yeah.
I like to lay eyeballs on these lights, too, just to see them.
Yes.
I would, too.
If you ask anybody else, Justin, that you know lives around, if they've seen anything like it?
Dude, no. I mean, you know how stuff's been for me over the last few months. I mean, I don't know of anybody. I haven't been around anybody else. There's one person that I would really like to get their opinion just because they own a feed store and live right there.
Yeah.
Across from the bank in town.
Yeah, that's now, right down from that.
The only thing, this is terrible to say because I love him to death, but the only thing with asking this one person is it's not a real reliable source.
Oh, yeah, let's just leave it at that. That's
I love him, but you can't believe half of what he says and the other half you got to take with a grain of salt. I mean, yeah. So I don't know that's the bad thing about that down there is all the businesses that are there. They're only open daylight hours.
Right.
Nobody really. There's only one person now that lives under there, and that's his property where our rock is. And I've wanted to talk to this guy for forever now, and just haven't been able to, you know, it just hasn't worked out to be able to talk to him. But that's the two people that I really need to get in contact with and try to talk to now that things are kind of getting more back to normal and slowing down a little bit. Like, that's two people that I really need to talk to, because here's the thing. Like, yeah, this has always been a mystery and an adventure and a journey for us. Like, it's always back there waiting in the wings, you know, like, when can we get back out and check it out and, you know, do some metal detecting and do some, you know, this and that. Like, it's always out there. You know, our treasure hunting is always waiting in the wings. It's always there.
We're just gonna get some snake baits.
But we haven't really, I mean, we haven't really being on it in probably over a year.
Right.
Yeah.
And then just all of a sudden, it's like, well, let's draw you back right here too.
And listen, I was going to mention this off air to you boys, but since we're on the subject, the price of silver, by the way, has gone up tremendously.
It's astronomically high right now.
And thanks to China, who has turned over and based a lot of stuff on silver, the price is going up. So, yeah, we need to go find John Swift's silver mine.
Well, we need to. I never did even talk about the caves on here. I never did talk about the cave hunting.
We need to go to these caves. I've lost some weight.
I have taken several trips up in that area where we think we're just at over the last 6 months. Probably 7 to 10 trips. And walked around, done quite a bit of exploring, and have marked off lots of places that were on the map that are no longer there. Some of the cliff faces that are there was on the bottom of them, and maybe went to the top of them. But you could definitely, you could definitely weasel your way in there. I did not because I was by myself, obviously, but
yeah,
there's I don't know. But I'm beginning to kind of come around to the same theory that Justin has, that like that rock is probably not like it led us kind of into the exploration of the silver mine. But I'm not sure how much that rock in Hayside, just because of the geography of location, is actually attached to the silver mine. It may be. I'm not saying not, but I think that rock is maybe a little separate kind of little thing that's on its own.
That is a good distance for that time period.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's completely on its own. I still believe that at least at one time there was a buried cache somewhere around there.
I would agree.
Based on Swift journals, I believe, and I'm not saying that it lasted until today, because you have a gas well site that sits right there to where I believe that it probably was. And again, we have to remember, like, yeah, Swift came back blind and old, but he had a bunch of guys working for him that was around when they buried this stuff.
Yeah,
like I'm sure a few of them went back and said, "Ha ha ha! You blind old fart! And I'm taking your money." Like,
that would be really nice to find a list of associates and be able to trace them.
Well, I do know for certain, with plenty of evidence, that there was a man that found a cache. And this changes a lot of my thinking, even on the mines themselves. Like, okay, if you look at Swift's history, we know that he spent time as a pirate. We know that for sure. Before he settled into Alexandria, he spent time around the Outer Banks, up into the coast of Virginia, Maryland, you know, all up the coast as a pirate. And the dates on a bunch of these coins that I've found are not, okay, let me rephrase, not that I've found, these dates on the coins that I have observed, that I have seen, that other people have found, are like 1748. So we know that that's not what could have been minted and printed in Swift's time, because that would have been late 1780s and 90s. Which tells me that we have giant caches of silver coins that have already been printed, that have come from somewhere, but they've been stored away and hidden in one particular place that I know of. It's just getting back to it.
Like I said, dude, I've lost some weight.
Well, this guy spent probably the better part of 20 years. And every year he would go in, like the trek in is so rough and so bad that all he could do was fill up pockets at a time. And his claim was there were four or five kegs of these coins. And he's got, like, he had them. That's no argument. There's no arguing that, because he gave them to people. One guy brought one to me at work a few weeks ago, held it in his hand and showed it to me. And I asked him, I said, what would it take for me to get that off of you? He said, you'd have to kill me. I said, look, I'm kind of thinking about it.
Accidents happen all the time in industrial shops. That's
exactly right.
I always find it kind of ironic, too, that, like, this is a totally side note, but the Central Bank of Sweden, which kind of houses a lot of the world's money, like the transfer money in between nationalities or different banks, you know what kind of code did you need?
Yeah.
You know what it's called?
Is it called a SWIFT code?
It's a SWIFT code. Yeah, it's a SWIFT code. That's how you transfer money around Central Bank of Sweden to the other nations or just in general.
Jesus. That's SWIFT code.
That's
an acronym for something, but like it's kind of nuts.
Well, it has to be like some kind of connection, but it also leads down that road to where you're like, okay, how much of this is just legend and folklore? And how much is legit? Because there's so many versions of this journal, of Swift's journals, and the farther you get away from the original date, I guess like anything, any kind of literature, like the farther away that you get away from it, like the more, I don't know.
I mean, it's like the ultimate telephone game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just over centuries, it's still going. Right.
And then you have so many people that have spent their entire lives looking for this and adding, you know, with their own thoughts and theories and clues and all this different stuff. But man, the thing is, like, it just keeps popping up.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I've ever given up on it, or not that I've ever kind of quit, you know, following this rabbit trail or quit grasping at some of these straws and gathering information and doing all this and that. I mean, like I said, we started from finding this rock and just hearing about Swift Silver Mine to a guy showing up to my work with a coin in his hand and telling me this story. So, I mean,
and then some other
rabbit trail that leads in this direction.
Yeah, then some other old dude telling us about balls of light shooting out from the direction of a rock.
I mean, dude, which brings me, and this is kind of going away from the treasure part of it again. It goes back, man, to me, like, okay, if some ancient people, whether it was ancient in the 1600s or if it was ancient in 1600 BC, like, I've told you boys, and I've said it on a couple of different shows, I think that there is a possibility that this could be the remnant of some kind of ancient temple structure. And not saying that it was man-made or handcrafted by man, you know, built there, but how many places did the ancients use what was already natural and just make little bitty adjustments to and create these temples? Again, where did the ancients go meet their gods? On the high places, right? Even Jesus, when he would go be to himself and speak with the Father, he would go to a mountain.
Moses.
Like, there's something significant about the high places. Well, that's where this is. It's on a high place. It has these carvings that we have no idea what it means. We have all these theories and all this stuff and all this talk. And I've went back several times and tried to step back and get a bird's eye view and really look at the place. You have this rock that sits over to the right that looks like a face, like the silhouette of a side profile of a face. You have like this leaning rock that's off of this peak point. You have like you have these gaps within the cliff below it that looks like just big enough to get a cart or some kind of something through. You have these straight cut that looks like they're straight cut rocks that are scattered across the hillside. I mean, you have a bunch of stuff that looks like this could be some kind of ancient temple or some kind of ancient structure of some sort. And now I hear that this old man sees balls of light shooting up from it. I mean, if the ancients had a place to where they witnessed balls of light shooting from earth to sky, oh my goodness, that would be an important place.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to go back to the rock. I think it's supposed to write until like next Thursday. So.
Well, that's the best time to go, right?
Yeah, that's when we went last time. This has thunder in the mix, though, so.
Yeah, could add a little extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Electricity to the air.
Definitely.
I know this is going to sound really, really dumb, but y'all know the way my brain works, and I'm not going to say synchronicity because.
Did you say
it? I'm not going to say that. But this guy tells me this story. Okay. This guy tells me this story. And then I turn the music back on in the shop. And the Steel Drivers, you know, Chris Stapleton's band before he became Chris Stapleton, the very first song that comes on is called Blue Side of the Mountain.
It's exactly okay. The song I was thinking of when you said this.
Okay, well, do you remember how that song starts?
There's a place my daddy showed me back before this land was mine.
There's a place
in a piney hollow
that no one but me can find.
Yeah.
Some Choctaw built it in the hillside.
That's right.
Stone by stone in a simpler time.
It's a holy place.
A holy place my daddy showed me back before this land of mine. On the blue side of the mountain where the sun don't ever shine.
Yeah, that's the sun might not shine, but the light's coming up out of the mountain, dude. And there's an old abandoned mine that runs that way.
Yep.
Hayside could be the trap of a fallen one, watcher, right there.
Could be. Could be.
No wonder the pharmaceutical Nephilim and the railroad Nephilim and the mining Nephilim have gutted this place.
Yeah.
People's faith in God is too strong in these mountains, folks. You'll never break them.
You'll never break them. But you got a lot
it's
of
crazy too. Like, because if that is an ancient temple or whatever, like, there is pretty much no like historical documentation of there being anybody here until, you know, these mining towns kind of rolled in. Like,
well, there is
tracing history back, like, you know, Hayside was founded, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but like, there's no historical documentation of there being civilization here.
Yeah, well, there's a few, the earliest historical documents or any kind of historical writings at all that I can find from the earliest settlers. I mean, you have like some accounts of, you know, conflict between settlers and natives. Now, these natives are always described as being more, you know, nomadic, you know, just kind of rolling through. But then again, in like Cherokee and Shawnee lore that you can look up in and around the area, especially the breaks, they talk about mountains that they could go completely through the mountain from one entrance to an exit and never see daylight and come out, you know, like from Hayside into the breaks. So, you know, it's one of these things like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, there's so much that we don't know of.
Makes me wonder if they got rid of all that when they made the roads. And then,
I mean, it's possible. It's very possible. When they started putting in these mining towns and doing all these different things.
I mean, just billions of tons of earth has been moved
in
the last 300 years. So, I mean.
Yeah.
And but no mine.
They're trying to.
And back when the mining started, there wasn't a whole lot of IMSHA that was, you know, kind of governing what they did. They just pretty much did what they wanted to.
Just did. They just did.
Cigarettes out in the coal and stuff. Like,
they blew whole mountains. They blew whole sides of mountains apart to get to the coal and to their fallen ancestors.
Yeah. Basically, they looked at the side of the mountain and said, that looks like a pretty good seam. Start swinging, boys.
That's it.
And they did it.
Yep.
I'm sure there were surveys to find where the fallen watchers were. I mean, the coal was, but.
Well, you know that. You know that.
Well, they do the test holes all the time because, you know, that's how they check. You know, that's how they can tell you what you're coming into. When you longwall mine, as you're cutting out, every once in a while you come to a casing that they've drilled down through to pour it out. So you got to stop and take that apart because, you know, sparks and gas and all that don't go together. But
Ryan, I have done so much theorizing and looking into to add to your theory of that. Well, of our granny witch's theory that the fallen ones were entrapped and imprisoned in the mountains.
Yeah.
And then your theory about all the CEOs of all these major corporations early on, I have come up with a theory that part of Isaiah 34 is about Appalachia.
Nice. I have I have more evidence to back myself up to, but I'm not going to say it right now. I'll say it when we're not recording. Because okay. we'll go to jail now.
And I know Lance is like, I know Lance is scratching his head right now and saying, what? Isaiah 34 in Appalachia? But I'll bring it one day, Lance. I'll bring it.
All right.
I'll present my evidence. It won't be today.
Not today.
But I will.
A really good title for an episode, though. Isaiah 34 in Appalachia.
Yeah. Welp. I have presented the evidence, just not on this show yet.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
The one time that I've recorded in the last 3 months.
Yeah. You had to sign an NDA?
I had to sign an NDA for right now, anyway. I think it's supposed to, I don't know. I can't talk about it. I signed the NDA.
Yeah, you can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
Yes, but we just don't.
But here's the thing, boys. It's wild. Like, it's crazy. And when I first saw it, I was like, this is weird and interesting. Let's go down this way a little bit. And then the more I dug, the more it kept confirming. And I was like, wait a minute. This is this is nuts.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, guys.
That's where we're at there. So we have to get back to the rock, and we have to do some kind of surveying and staking out, surveilling and staking out to see if we can see these lights.
Yeah. And maybe we need to go sit up at Diamond Dog, and I'll bring the skull spit and you guys bring the grease. Bring back memory. I'll bring a camera too.
Lance will bring the testosterone.
Yeah, that's bring for the testosterone.
Sure. I'm leaking. I'm leaking that, boy. Leaking it quickly.
It's anal, sexy, anal seepage. Lance is pulling up Isaiah 34 right now.
Yep. Yeah. Reading it as we talk.
I knew he can't stand it.
Seems like I remember that verse, but I can't bring it up in my mind. But
he can't stand it.
Just by reading the first 10 verses, Justin, I get it. I get it.
He sees the direction you're going to go, but I'm sure you have more.
Like, full direction, but I think I get it. Now, I don't know that. I mean, there is a lot of imagery right here that we have talked about. This just at a quick.
What translation are you reading?
I'm reading God's translation, the King James, buddy.
No, I'm pretty sure that's just King James's translation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's literally King James's version.
His name's in it.
Yeah.
I am reading
it. Okay, well, let me just tell you this.
Here, before he goes on, Ryan, there are 17 verses in Isaiah 34.
How does it start?
There are at least four different times, maybe three different times, in which it talks about the screech owl, the great owl making her nest, and hatching in her shadows.
Bruh.
That's not counting mentioning of unicorns. Man.
It mentions unicorns. Unicorns are in the Bible.
Yeah.
But dinosaurs are not.
Yeah, they're in the Bible too.
Everything's fake, by the way. I have learned that. Everything is fake.
Dinosaurs and dragons are in the book of Job.
The dragon is in all of, like, it's through the entire Bible.
Oh, yeah. 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 But I'm talking like the description of a dragon.
Yeah.
Like Leviathan.
Listen, buddy, I'm not going to sleep tonight. This is good.
I've got a little teaser for you guys as well. As of late, I have given more credit. I do not, nor will I ever, believe the earth is flat. However, some of the things they talk about, I think we can theorize with a globe Earth and actually see and make sense of it, especially these two guys in particular, because they're not actually like out there to make people believe in flat Earth. That's just what they believe from the evidence they've gathered. However, I can see evidence for a globe of what they talk about too. So I like where they're going with that, but I have given flat Earthers, two of them, a follow. On X.
Oh, wow. Ryan, you really are a changed man.
Listen, this is growth. Growth. That's
Ryan,
what
let me read. I can't. Justin, I wish you wouldn't have told me this. I'm ready to go now. Let's go for another hour. Like, give me read this verse here, Ryan.
Okay.
Where is it? Where'd it go? Hang on. I gotta find the right one. This is verse 14. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. In verse 17, it says, and he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided them. This one right here gave me chills. And his hand hath divided it unto them by line. What's a cool scene? I mean, they shall possess it forever, from generation to generation. They shall dwell therein. Holy crap, buddy.
That's good, man. That's a good pull.
Shall dwell therein.
Oh, you don't even know, dude.
Dude,
you,
listen to no, every.
That's just me know. Reading it just quickly. Like,
never
I
never leave Harlan alive.
That's a really, that's awesome.
Okay, now do me a favor. And you don't have to do it right now. I know you will, but you don't have to. This is your homework. Go look at the Masoretic, you know, the Hebrew, the Masoretic text. Look at that. Look at the translation in the Septuagint. And look at the translation in the Latin Vulgate. All that were extremely early translations, you know, directly from the Hebrew. Well, the Masoretic is the Hebrew, but go look at those at the Masoretic, the Latin Vulgate, and the Septuagint. Go look at those translations. And then get back with me.
This is
wild. It's wild
get
stuff.
Off here, you have to message me everything you just said because I don't know how to spell any of that.
Okay.
Second of all, because I'll go into this deep, boys. I'm telling you, I've been.
I think. Okay, hold on, Lance. Pull up the Latin Vulgate right now. I think it's the Latin Vulgate. And the last few verses on that, when it starts talking about the animal translations, and this is just a small, small part of it. See if you can find that.
Just a second. And the demons and monsters shall meet, and the hairy ones shall cry one to another. There hath am I lying down and found rest for herself. There hath the Arichius had its hole and brought up its young ones and hath dug round about and cherished them in shadows thereof. Thither are the kites gathered to another. Search ye diligently in the book of the Lord and read. Not one of them was wanting. One hath not sought for the other. For that which proceedeth out of my mouth he hath commanded, his spirit hath gathered them. He has caught and he hath cast the lot for them and divided them by the line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation. Hang on. Let me look here.
So when you started that one.
And the unicorn shall go down with them and the bulls with their mighty. Their land shall be soaked with blood and their ground with the fat one.
He said the hairy ones will call to each other.
Yeah.
Dude, crazy. They're whooping in the forest. So
oh, why didn't you just text me this? Like,
yeah, bro. You can't text somebody you're that busy. The Feyland.
Hey, all you had service. To say was, hey, Lance, I know I'm busy. And I know you're busy. And I understand that I have been attached to another particular podcast that has essentially made me their, for lack for a better word.
There too.
Moving on. And all I need you to do is just look at Isaiah 34 and see if you see any correlation to Appalachia.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude,
that's all you would have had to have done. That would have taken you 30 seconds, Justin.
There's not just any correlation. It's all correlated.
That would have taken you 30 seconds. We have known each other the entirety of most of our lives. And you know well what this would have done to me.
I wanted to do it here. There's a reason for this. I wanted to do it here.
So, but then you went and did it somewhere else first, and where your sloppy second?
But it hasn't been released yet, so we're still good.
I'm sure it will be any time.
No, it'll be. We got a minute.
And you don't think I could have added,
Lance,
added some just thought to this,
Lance,
and had you maybe even better come up with even more things like you know what. What this brain does when I get stuff like this.
And the mountains shall be melted with their blood.
You keep reading, Ryan. I'm a little upset. I'm hurt.
There too.
30 seconds.
There too. Like, hey, Lilith buddy. Shall repose.
Hey, buddy. Have you looked at Isaiah 34 and have you looked at it in a while?
Ryan, you know another translation for Lilith right there in some of the translations?
The owl. The screech owl.
Well, yes, that
Lila too. Lila too.
Well, that's the Hebrew, a different name.
What is it?
Lamia.
Oh my God, yeah. Lamia. By the way, the one book we've told everybody to listen to forever, Lost Gods by Brom, the dude's grandmother was a Lilith and her name was Lamia.
Yeah, Brom does his homework.
Yeah, Brom does his homework for sure, like deep dive.
And you couldn't take 30 seconds?
I'm sorry, Lance. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry.
This one may be unforgivable, Justin.
No, it's not. That's not true.
That's true. It's not. This is
here's what we are going to do, though. Here's what we are going to do. I want you to do your homework on it until the next time we meet. And then we're really going to dive into it.
We have to wait a whole month or 3 months. No. We have to wait 3 more months.
Well, as long as I don't get stuck in a Fey realm for 3 minutes. If I'm in for 1 minute, I guess that's 1 month. I don't know how time works there. It's weird. Where the hairy ones cry out to each other.
That one, as soon as you said it, I was like, wood boogers, Bigfoots. They're all crying out to each other. No wonder they're supernatural.
Some translations say where the goat demon or the monsters cry out to the goat demon.
There. What is this Edome? What is Edome, Jess?
That's Edom, right?
That's Edom. That's the land of Edom. Yeah, that's the Edom. People. That's the people in the land of Edom who were descendants of Esau.
Yes. And who was
Harry? And who was Harry, who people theorize that it was a possible, you know, like this Bigfoot archetype kind of thing.
Yeah, because didn't his brother, who was his brother? Jacob?
Yeah, Jacob was his brother. If you get into some of the apocryphal sources, like the Book of Jasher, it describes a little more of a story. If you believe, you know, again, we've talked about the apocryphal stuff a lot. You got to take it with a grain of salt. But again, I feel like
not to stop you. Again, you've got me. I'm soaked in now.
Yep.
I see the reference. I see the word, the reference to Edom here. The spelling of this other one, again, I'm looking at the Vulgate here. The spelling of the other one. So in verse 6, it talks about the great slaughter in the land of Edom, right?
Mm-hmm. But
then in verse, hang on, I'm doing this on the fly here. Sorry. The other spelling is totally different. It's with an I. Is it just another way to?
Is it talking about the people? Is that the reference to like people from Edom instead of Edomites? Edomai?
Spelled totally different. It's Idumae or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look more into that.
I just looked at it. Where did it go?
Those must have been the slower Edomites.
All right, here we go. Idioms. So, verse 5, for my sword is inebriated in heaven. Behold, it came down upon, and the spelling of it is Idumea.
Hold on. Spell it again.
Idumea.
It just says Edom. It's another word for Edom.
Another way.
Yeah, it just says it's another word. It's another.
Yeah. Another phrasing of Edom. Okay.
Idumea, the Greek name for Edom. After the exile in 586 BCE, the name designated the region in Judea from Beth Zur to south of Beersheba, an area occupied in part by Edomites or Edomians.
So the Edomians are from Edom.
And the next little part is a big part in some of my research and my theory. Herod the Great was an Edomian.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's part of it.
Herod the Great, as in Herod, who was there at the birth of Jesus, correct? Wanted the three wise men to kill him, correct?
Correct. That Herod, that Edomite. That from the line of Esau, who was a strict, direct rival to the people of Israel, the Israelites.
We love the Jews.
But the Edomites didn't.
No, they could be in jail today.
Yes, they would.
Just for having those thoughts.
Get in there, you okay. Pricks. That's
okay. Since we're already in it, just for a minute. Get in there, you
we're tired of your crap.
I'll give you another little thread to follow.
Oh, all right, so go ahead. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Second Temple rabbinic scholars and teachers, Second Temple rabbis, quite a few of them referred to Herod as the father of Rome.
Okay.
He had such strong ties
right.
to the Roman Empire.
Correct.
That they had so much hatred toward Herod. And so much background of him and lineage of him being an Edomite and his associates and the plans that he carried out, that a lot of these early rabbis and rabbinical scholars, writers, theologians called him the father of Rome. That's just another little trail.
How awesome would it be to have a time machine and see Rome and see Egypt when Marcus Aurelius and Cleopatra were doing shrooms and making babies. And
just look around, Ryan. Rome's still here. We just don't call it Rome anymore.
We call it the Vatican.
It's just maneuvered its way through society.
Lance, you just got us put in jail again.
Lance, you are so close right now. You can smell it. You're so close right now.
We are the new Rome.
And think about this, boys. Think about this. The people of Edom didn't always stay in that little area, or at least not all of them, between Judea and Beersheba that I just read about.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the descendants of Esau and the Edomites, were they near Turkey and all that? Is that the Göbekli Tepe people?
Well, they were south of Judea. They were south of Judea. Like in Israel. That was their little. They hated each other so much that when Babylon overthrew Jerusalem and the Israelites were under, were in captivity in Babylon for those 70 years, the Edomites helped Babylon with that. Like they were cheering them on and helping out.
If I'm not mistaken, that's like.
What is Babylon?
Something AD.
Sorry.
And then in Malachi. Sorry, Lance.
No, I'm sorry. I keep stopping, then you keep stopping. It's just, it's, yeah.
I'll try to put those dates together. I think it was like 500 something AD. And then in Malachi, after Jerusalem or whatever was occupied, that's when that language fully destroyed, right?
Yeah. Like I half paid attention to what you said because I was thinking in my head. So say it again.
The Edomites and Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, right?
Yes.
Or went in and occupied. But then in Malachi, it was actually destroyed, right? From the prophecy being fulfilled.
It was destroyed during. Jerusalem was destroyed during the time of Daniel.
Babylon sacking Jerusalem.
That was Babylon sacking Jerusalem. That is correct because Ezekiel was written as a captive in Babylon, and he was essentially God was showing him future prophecy that's not even come to fruition yet of Israel. Kind of
same thing with Daniel.
Yes, kind of coming back to glory, as the Bible says. Not that we love the Jews. So, I mean, Babylon, so let's go back. The Edomites helped Babylon essentially ransack the temple and destroyed Jerusalem, correct?
Correct.
Babylon eventually becomes Persia.
Correct.
Persia eventually becomes... Go ahead and say it.
Iran,
which were, but the, what's the word I'm looking for?
You know what I love about this?
The king,
you know,
not the kingdom, not the not the nation so much of Persia, but like the kingdom, like the
empire, conquering force. Persian
Thank
empire.
You, empire. That's what I'm looking for. The empire of Persia eventually gets taken over and becomes. Go ahead and say it. I know the
Ottoman. The Ottoman
Empire. And that eventually leads into the.
But look, you know what I love about what you're doing right now?
What?
You're going in a totally different direction, but it's the exact same direction, if that makes any sense at all.
Let me finish my thought. The Ottoman Empire eventually becomes.
I don't remember. I'm lost now.
So that's Turkey, right?
But all roads lead to what?
Rome. And Judea was Roman territory.
Roads lead to the Roman Empire.
That's what I meant.
And the expansion
of the Roman Empire. That's exactly right. That was where I was going to, right? So when Daniel has the dream of Nebuchadnezzar's statue, right?
Yep.
You go through the gold down all the different facets of the statue, right? It's a description of all of the world empires that eventually get taken away, right? Rome was the last. Roman Greece was the last one. It was the feet, right? The clay feet was the last one to be destroyed. There are no other biblical accounts of world empires, right? Rome was kind of the last one.
Until what I would argue, the U.S. empire.
Right, but there's no mention of U.S. You don't see that as far as being in the prophecy of things, right? There's America's nowhere in the Bible.
No, correct. You're correct. You're on the right track.
But Rome is there. Rome is very much still here. It's not. When I say Rome, I mean the ideology. Empirical version of it, right? It's very much the conquering force of what America became in the 1700s, right?
So if the Edomites, who were so linked and so part of Rome, if rabbis would even claim that Herod was the father of Rome, which I think is an exaggeration, obviously.
Rome was very much already there when Herod was on the throne.
Absolutely. But I think their hatred and his ties to Rome so much just led to some exaggeration on their part. But those Edomites who had really strong ties, you know, later on, after all these empires we're talking about, to Rome, and they've expanded and they've migrated and they've moved throughout the Roman Empire with the Roman expansion into places, especially such as what is modern day Germany. And then you have Germans, an entire population of Germans, sail across the great Atlantic into the New World and settled where? The Pennsylvania Dutch. Do me a favor.
Along the Appalachian Mountain line.
Do me a favor, Lance. You still got one of those translations of Isaiah 34 pulled up?
I'm still in the Vulgate, but I can go to another one.
No, just read the King James. You can go back to your King James. It's fine.
God's word.
Okay, go to God's word.
I hope people understand it. Like, that's very much tongue in cheek.
It's funny because it's funny because the God's word translation is a translation.
It's true. I'm back on the actual translation. All the other ones are fake. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll never see it.
Oh gosh. Okay. Actually, I'll pull it up here and I'm going from the English Standard Version. All right. So there we go.
Enter.
Starting in verse 9, and the streams of Edom shall be turned into pitch, and her soul into sulfur. Her land shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall not be quenched. Its smoke shall go up forever. from generation to generation, it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. What's that sound like to you boys?
The mines that's burning up there in Pennsylvania?
What it sound like to me?
The whole town.
And you couldn't take 30 seconds. Save all this up for Tony, did you?
Is this blowing your mind right now,
though? I'm glad you did. Save
all up for the master.
Listen, it's been a month.
Could not take 30 seconds.
It's been a month since we dropped the episode. This is going to be great. So,
is this blowing your mind right now?
Yes.
My theory is,
I will say this, right? And, you know, I don't get overly fired up about much. But there are just. Is everybody listening? There are too many synchronicities.
Yes.
In Isaiah 34.
What is going on? Lance is saying synchronicity. I'm adding flat earthers on X because I like what they're saying. We have jumped timelines. CERN fired up.
He came back from the Fae realm and just we're on a different timeline now.
Seriously.
The eclipse happened and we're on a totally different timeline.
I think CERN
fired
back
up.
Fae realm,
a new time.
And I came back from the Fae realm and I was worried that you guys would think that I was a changeling, but I'm starting to think that maybe I came back into the wrong realm. I think y'all are changelings.
Hey, listen, brother, this is pretty wild. Like, again, this has been 15 minutes of me just reading stuff, right? I'm not got a chance to really dig in deep and go to the other side of the aisle because you know that I'll go there.
You'll go there. And I'm ready for when you do.
But this at surface value, first reading through, holy cow. This sounds like everything we have talked about for the last couple of years.
For sure. It's 100%.
And having our local lovable granny witch kind of like starting our theory on some of these fallen entities trapped in these mountains and then just kind of starting to
here's
somewhere.
My thing,
she got that from somewhere. Right? I mean,
here's my thing, dude. Okay. I kept asking the question, why is this Lilith character so prevalent in Appalachia? Why? And then I keep following these trails, and one of the few places that the actual word name Lilith is used in the Bible, in Isaiah 34, it explains all of this stuff, and then it says, here is where Lilith shall make her resting place, or shall take respite, or shall repose.
What translation what translation is Lilith in?
I think it's in the Masoretic, and I think it's in the Septuagint. And I think, hold on, it might even be, let's see.
Did I already ask you guys about the Scofield Bible?
No, you haven't. I know Sam was talking about that the other day on one of the podcasts. That's probably where you got that from.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. So I actually don't know what it is.
I have. Let's see. I think it's right. No, it's not. I have the one I use on a daily basis. I'll say daily. It's not. It should be daily. It's not. But. Is the one I use commonly is my Scofield. But the history of the Scofield Bible is interesting. That needs to be another one of those. That'll take a while.
Oh, okay.
That's an episode. Yeah.
But it's okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. That was my only concern.
Yeah, there's been a resurgence for people who don't like Scofield. Because of some of the dealings that he was in and how he kind of cornered the market essentially. But most versions that you probably have is the King James version, right? You probably got a King James version laying around somewhere. It's very much a modern age. Like people don't like King James wasn't a great guy. Like we know that, right? He wasn't, but his version that we have, his translation that we have of the scripture has been that with what we've pretty much everybody's used, right? All the other translations are based largely based on that one. Schofield kind of cornered the market on printing the Bibles and stuff up. But yeah, it's the name of who made the Bible does not change what is in the Bible.
Correct. I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
I like the way you put it.
Listen, translation, that's like, it's one of my my things I just enjoy talking about.
the Lexham English Bible translation, Lance, says, hold on, let me find it again. I lost it. And desert creatures shall meet with hyenas, and a goat demon shall call to his neighbor. Surely there Lilith shall repose, and she shall find a resting place for herself.
And don't call me Shirley.
There the owl, again, here's more symbolism. There the owl shall nest and lay and hatch and care for her chicks in her shadow. Oh, crap. I wish I'd have come across this translation earlier. Holy crap. There Lilith shall repose, and she shall find a resting place for herself. There the owl shall...
What verse you in?
That's verse 14.
Okay.
Verse 15. There the owl shall nest and lay and hatch and care for her chicks in her shadow. Surely there the birds of prey shall be gathered, each one with her mate.
It's crazy.
Holy crap.
Listen, and owls are on the uptick. It's not just us either. The ninjas are butterfly guys.
One of those, they put one of those love things, you know, you see, like you take pictures at. You know what I'm talking about? Like the love,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Whatever.
Yep. Yep.
Like, it's in the middle of Wise. And it was an unveiling. Or I don't know why we did that. Don't, opinions on why it's there don't matter. Right. But it's there. And the ale is like, has some kind of picture on it of like a reservoir or something. I don't know. It's the O has an owl in the middle of it. I drove by the other day. Haley. Is that, why is there an owl? Like, why? Who thought there's not that many? Like, who put an owl in the O? Of all the things you could put in the O.
What else is pictured there?
Why an owl? Like, it makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
Well, O for owl, L for lake, V for vagina. Did they put a vagina over the V? That would be hilarious.
No, I don't know. I'll drive by tomorrow and look and see. I was so enthralled with why the, I mean, what?
If they didn't, I'm just saying, Lance, there's your opportunity.
Why would you do that? Like, it makes no sense. It's not like the owl's the county bird or anything. Like, I don't get it.
Oh, wow.
That's because there, Lilith shall make her repose, and the owl,
dude,
shall...
They put the owl statue up before they brought that nuclear power plant in to feed into resurrecting the Nephilim mommies and daddies.
And that sounds what crazy, CERN, it's not crazy.
What did CERN do before they fired up the Large Hadron Collider? They put a statue of Shiva up, right?
Yeah, as we sent the god of, you know, killing the sun god's nemesis, shot rockets at it, fired up CERN. I wonder if they did it in Tennessee at the same time. You know they did.
My brain
is firing on all cylinders. Can I ask you boys a question? This is totally out of left field. I mean, like, totally out of left field. Listening to Rogan the other day.
Yeah.
He's got the guy on that has done the work in the pyramids, the engineer, mm-hmm. the old guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how that guy believes that his theory is that was essentially the king's chamber and the queen's chamber, and how the pyramids was essentially like a huge generator for, you know, I don't know if you've listened to the episode or not, but
yeah, and the chemical factory. He seems to have
the theory that the whole thing was a chemical factory they're putting in there to boil off hydrogen to potentially use it as energy, right?
Yep.
And I'm sitting there like, and I'm listening to it, and I'm taking it for what it's worth, but we're talking about the vibration that come off, the frequency that comes off the earth, it's kind of naturally, and how that was very much like they had people who went in there with sonar, And there was an audible like vibration that was there that even when they turned all the equipment off, they could still hear it. They still pick it up. And it was part of the guy's theory that thought why they were using it, so on and so forth, right? So they're talking about vibrations, and then we all know frequency and Tesla, and then kind of how that seems to be a pretty, I'm going to call it a pseudoscience for lack of a better word, but there's very much a lot of evidence for healings and all kinds of stuff, vibration therapy and how frequencies can help your body and so on and so forth, right? And they're going on and talking about all this, and the one vibration that was there the whole time was at a certain hertz that the human ear could not hear, right? And they mentioned, I think even Jamie kind of said this, that this hertz that you couldn't pick it up. But Rogan kind of offhand made a joke. He was like, I wonder if, what's his dog's name? Charlotte? No. Whatever his dog's name, I can't think of his dog's
head. Yeah.
You know, he mentions him sometimes in the podcast. And he said, I wonder if, insert dog's name, if he could hear it. Dogs are really cool. They can hear that kind of stuff, right? And I was mad for a second at Rogan for not asking the question or not looking up. Can cats hear it?
Yeah. Dude, why did they?
What is the fascination with cats? And were they using the cats to be able to figure out where the where the frequency was?
Yes,
that's why they idolized them in such a way, because it was kind of, they led them to where these centers were, and then they could begin to generate from there because the cats could hear the vibration they could not hear.
Dude,
I've always wondered. What's the fascination with cats? Like, I get it, or gods or whatever, but it's like an over infatuation with cats in the Egyptian culture. And like, mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody really ask the question, like, if this is part of the theory, it would make sense that you would just send cats down there and figure out where they kind of hemmed up at.
Yeah,
that's good. They'd be like bloodhounds.
Yeah.
Frequency like, cats.
What? Come on, Joe. You're supposed to be professional.
Yeah, come on, Joe. Think of this shit.
Come on, Joe.
That's a really good episode too. I liked how he was explaining about going to the different places with the drills,
yeah,
and how they were explaining how much they cut with well much pressure and all that, because he was worried about talking about the core samples out of the quarries, you know, where the rocks came from to build the pyramids and things. How they have like these, not perfectly round, but you know. Really round, halt
look
cores.
Like drilled out. They look like they've been, yeah, machine drilled. Yes, very much so.
Like how?
Anyway, that was totally out left field. But you've got my, I'm like, it's the synapses.
Oh, now you have my wheels turning like crazy. Like that's, dude.
That was the first question that popped in my head when he said that.
Yeah, cats were almost deified in ancient Egypt, man. Like yeah. They were guardians. They were psychopomps, like leading people into the afterlife.
It would make sense. Like, if this is, you're building these pyramids because that's what's energizing the city, then these cats helped you figure out where that was at.
That's crazy. I like it.
And they say it smells like ammonia, right? You can still smell the ammonia in that yep. place. That's crazy. Maybe that's how they were so good at preservation.
It's possible.
He's not like cat pee to preserve stuff.
It's a lot of cat pee. And that's exactly what cat pee smells like.
That's true too.
It might have been just a lot of cats. I almost said the dirty word again, but
as does the trailer park down the road.
Yeah. As does my crazy aunt's house, but
that. So the little bit that I shared there with you, Lance, from Isaiah 34, what we'll do is we'll all go separately and do our homework. And I know that you'll have like some more to add and some rebuttals. Some Lanceyisms to come back, and I'll try to prepare myself for that. And we'll do an entire, I'll lay it all out.
Isaiah 34 in Appalachia. I've already got the name.
Isaiah 34 in Appalachia. This is great.
Yeah.
But we've hit quite a few of the high notes here tonight, and I've given you a whole lot of trails to go down. But the next episode we come in, I'll lay it all out there. My whole theory. And then, I mean, it's wild, dude. I'll end it with this. If God is declaring judgment on a nation, that's not just a land with borders. People make up a nation.
Yes, that's true. The government, the government does not represent the nations, and people need to understand that real quick.
Yep.
This government doesn't represent what we believe. The governments out there do not represent what their people believe.
Now, Ryan.
Well, I mean, it's just the truth. And the only there's only a few places you can go to find it because everything else is censored. It's why we're getting ready to go directly to Rumble and say YouTube jump in a freaking creek.
Let's not get too political.
That sweet stream of freedom. I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to say, you know what, people? Support your local farmers. It's important right now. They're under attack. Sure. Support your local farmers. Just start watching what you're putting in your bodies. They're turning the frogs gay.
Turn the frogs gay, Joe Rogan.
That was a joke just to throw in on that.
No, that's not a joke. They actually are.
They really did gay, turn.
But they're making them change gender, yeah. So.
They're transgender frogs.
Another one Mr. Jones was right about 20 years earlier.
20 years before they did. Just, dude's been calling it for 30 years, and I just don't know how I missed it. But
where in the Bible can I find the book of Alex?
I don't know. It'll be the future one. 1,000 years from now when we're all dead and they start finding all these things. Like, what? Who was this prophet?
The book of Alex is actually labeled. The pen is... mightier. Suck it.
Yeah. I'll take the penis mightier for 400, Alex.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it.
The pen is, Sean. The pen is. It's not what your mother said. All right, boys. Let's close this thing down.
Yeah. What a great episode.
I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad that we were able to do this. I'm so happy to see you boys and chat this up.
Dude, we've been recording for a good while now, and it doesn't feel like it. Like, no, this. Like,
it's fun. Like, it, Ryan, it was me and you. Like, it's fun.
Yes.
Like, this just feels right.
This is the dynamic that makes our show work. It's just why people like us. I think they like us. Yeah. The trinamic.
This feels right.
Well, with either of us gone, you're missing. I mean, it's like kicking a leg out of a tripod. That camera ain't capturing nothing because it's pointed straight at the ground or straight up in the air.
Plus, you just kicked me in my privates, and that's terrible. But
when that tripod is holding steady and that camera is pointed directly at the tree line, you'll get that blurry photo of the big guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we do. We are. We're bringing the blurry photos of the big guy.
And hopefully videos of some lights shooting up out of a mountainside soon.
Metaphorically speaking, that is.
Yeah.
No, this has been great, guys. Ryan, you want me to close it out? I ain't done this in a long time.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if I remember.
Take it away, brother.
People are still listening at this point. Please go ahead and close it out.
Anybody still listening, you know what? We love you, Hill Folk. We really, really do. We love you. I'm so glad to be back. I'm so glad that this sultry, sweet, hickish voice gets to fall on your ears one more again. So happy for that. No, we do love y'all. Y'all know where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, Discord, YouTube. I guess Rumble here, this sweet, sweet stream of freedom. Ryan's going to get us on over there.
Oh, we're going to Rumble, baby.
You can find us on all those socials. Be sure to leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. If you enjoy the show, you enjoy what you're hearing, be sure to go on over there to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Write up a little something awesome about us because you know we deserve it. I mean, just go ahead and do it. Yeah. So be sure to do that. You can support us a bunch of different ways. You can go over to the Patreon, which, again, we've been extremely slacking on. And for those of you that have left us recently, I don't blame you one bit, because it's hard to subscribe for content that's not there. And we understand. But we will get back into the flow of things. We will start getting some extra content back over there. We will start picking some things up. I promise this. Ryan and Lance told y'all it would be the middle of May before I came back. And look, it's May the 4th be with you.
Yes,
and
I'm here. May the 4th be with you.
I'm here. I never left. You were always in my thoughts. Your folk, always.
You were always on his mind.
You can make a one-time donation. Click the support the show link that will be in the show notes. You can now you can invest in our trying to capture these lights at our rock project that we have going on.
That list of projects that we have going.
We have a list. Yeah. Long. So you can do that. But the most important way, as you all well know, you hear it on every podcast you ever listen to. The best way you can support the show is by sharing the show. Share the show on socials, word of mouth, write a letter to your pen pal in prison. You know, they're not supposed to have phones in most of them, but, you know, they got them anyway. I'm sure most of them listen to Appalachian Intelligence. So, share it in the pen, guys. Share it in the pen.
Yeah, before we go any further, since I know Alex Jones listens back, I hope he heard my apology earlier. I was wrong.
Well, and Rogan. And Rogan also heard that he's probably going to get better at his job now because we told him he needs to step it up.
Yeah.
So
Lance called him out.
Alex, quit scaring Ryan and Joe.
No.
Step up your game, son. You're slacking. All right, here, folks. We love you. You know we love you.
We love the Jews. Love you and mean it.
And until next time, we'll see y'all later.